Evidence and Answers begins right now.
This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukren. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Psalm 19 shows that God reveals himself both in the splendor of creation and in the revelation of his word. The Bible is no ordinary book. It's God-breathed, flawless, trustworthy, and able to transform our lives. Discover why God's word is worth more than gold and how it equips us to live wisely, courageously, and with lasting hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled, Perfect, Powerful, and Priceless, the Word of God. And you'll also find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this incredible study.
Maxwell's the guy you want to read, and he'll tell you he gets all his principles right from God's Word. Principles for marriage relationships. Principles for raising children, young men and women, principles for finding the right spouse, principles for government. You know, in my ethics class, one of my students was so fascinated with how much God's principles apply to government. You know, our founding fathers, where did they get their idea for the government we have today? Well, read their founding documents. Good book is by Heinemann and Lutz, studied 15,000. Documents of our founding fathers. The most quoted source is, guess what? The Bible. Nothing else comes close. All right. Give sound principles for government. Inspired him so much, he ran for office. And against all odds, he won. All right. Elijah Pyrick. All right. The man won. The biggest upset in the elections, the last two elections. But so fascinated about how God's word applies to government. You want principles on the responsible use of technology, on environmental management. You're hearing a lot about immigration right now. Bible provides guidelines for all of that. God's word applies to all aspects of God's world. If you study it, you embrace it, you'll go from simple to wise. And we all have that ability. All right? So the life application is this. Since God's word applies to all aspects of life, we each must learn how to understand and apply God's word to all arenas of our life. This is not just a book on how to get saved, right? But a book on how to live skillfully in God's world. Fourth, the Bible is impeccable. It's flawless. It's free from moral fault or error. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Right there means morally right. Literally, it means being straight. But when it comes to passages like this, it means morally right, moral integrity. It teaches you right from wrong. Today, the culture has embraced a very dangerous definition of truth. Truth is measured by how it makes me feel. If I don't like it, it's not true. All right. And I've seen it in the church before. I'd preach on things and people would be like, yeah, we know that. Sure. Of course. Well, now it's not surprising to see people get up and walk out because what? They don't like what they heard. Okay. Well, God's word is truth, whether I like it or not. I don't like the idea that I can't fly. Well, do I say, well, I don't like it. Wow. You know, 20-story building, I'm going to jump off. No, I accept it. All right. And I conform to the truth that is outside of me. God's word is true. My feelings, whether I like it or not, doesn't change it. And it says, the precepts of the Lord are right or sure, rejoicing the heart. The unhappiest people I met are those living in rebellion to God, right? Living in sin. Never met a happy person living in complete disobedience to God. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, committing adultery and murder, wrote in Psalm 32, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Here's a guy living in the luxury of the palace, committed sin against God, and he says, "My bones were wasting away." It was an incredibly heavy burden upon him. And I see it in those living in disobedience to God's word, Christian or, you know, non-Christian. But those who live in obedience to God's word find joy because there's peace. Because you're at peace with God, knowing that you're living a life that honors the Lord. There was a brother not long ago. We were partners in ministry. We did a whole lot of things together. And not long ago, he met another woman and he moved to another state. And, you know, his wife was here not knowing what was going on. But we had suspicions of what was going on. And finally, you know, it was revealed through the internet what was going on. And he was messing around with another woman. And so I called the pastor of his church here, and he didn't want to go confront him. I called the elders. They didn't want to go confront him. So I said, I'll fly out there and confront our brother, but I need someone else with me. And nobody, I couldn't find anybody that knows him who would go with me. And I said, it's not going to be one-on-one, he said, she said kind of stuff. So finally got a brother in Florida, and we met in California, and we confronted our friend at a restaurant, and it was one of the worst days of my life. Fortunately, I have to do this a little too often. And I said, "Look, I don't have to go through the pictures on my phone, all right? Now, look, you got to do what's right. You got to get back with your wife and kids. Leave this woman. She's no good for you. And get on home, man. Let's make things right. You know that's what God wants, and you know that's just right." And he said, "No, you know, my wife's a tyrant. She's this, she's that, she's mean, she's nasty." And I said, "Look, come on. We know her, all right? And of course she's mad because you're messing around. I would be too. Now, you know, let's go and make this right." And he looked at us and he said, "Don't you want me happy? God wants me happy. Don't you want me to be happy?" And I looked at him, I said, "There's no happiness in disobeying God's word. You're not going to find joy there. The psalmist says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." I said, "There's no joy in living in adultery, living in complete disobedience to God's word, no matter what you think." Well, I wish I could tell you he listened and he repented and turned, but a lot of times it just doesn't happen. And he's up there now. From posts I see on social media, boy, that guy looks about 30 years older. And although he's out there saying, "I'm happy, look at all the stuff I'm doing," I know deep down inside, there's really no joy in living in complete disobedience to God's word. As David says, "My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." And when I'm living in sin, man, it takes its toll on me until I repent and get it right with God and live in obedience to him. So our life application is this, that the Bible is to be obeyed because God's commands are right, all right? So as difficult as it may be, joy comes when we turn from sin and live in obedience to God. You find yourself weighed down. You find yourself burdened. Perhaps we're living in disobedience to God's word. We need to let God's word examine us, expose where we have strayed, and respond to his commands to get right with God. Number five, the Bible is impeccable, okay? Or incorruptible, incapable of moral corruption. It says, "The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes." Pure there, meaning having no faults, guiltless. It's often used of ritual sacrifices that were brought to God that were pure, free from blemish, or of the worshiper coming to God and saying, lifting up pure hands in worship, in a state of cleanness, free of guilt and sin. The word of God, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In other words, it reveals dimensions of truth and reality in human existence and our and reality here upon the earth, because it is given by God, the giver of life, the creator of this world. When you see the world through the biblical lens of the Bible, of God's truth, it is enlightening. You see life from a whole new perspective, because now you're looking through the lens of truth given by God. I never enjoyed science. Most of the science I was learning comes from the naturalist worldview that there is no God. The material universe is all that exists. And so I never enjoyed science because it was depressing, right? How do we get here? Well, through this quantum vacuum, there are these particles of energy that somehow exploded and got the universe here. So basically, the universe is an accident, a product of natural forces that had no intention for it to be here or for us to be here, right? We're a product of natural causes as well. We're just simply material beings. And in the end, what happens? We end in everything ends in death and annihilation, all right? And man, that was just kind of depressing, you know, to study that. Everything is a product of chance. It was just kind of not only boring, but just kind of depressing. And so that's why I never really enjoyed the sciences. It just kind of didn't make sense to me, whether it was physics and then you go to chemistry and biology is kind of okay, whatever. Well, when I came to faith in Christ and I was taught finally in graduate school that Christianity is not just about salvation. It is an all-embracing worldview. It applies to all areas of God's creation. Ding, suddenly the sciences made sense. Suddenly it was fun to study because now we are unraveling the design of the grand designer who created the universe for a purpose, who created you and I for a purpose. And the universe is designed by him for us to discover and explore the wonder of his creation and understand the mind of the creator. Suddenly, bing, it was just a whole new perspective where it finally made sense. And it really, I was able to put things together and there was now joy and wonder in studying the creation around me. Classes from psychology to anthropology, history, now started making sense as I was able to look through a biblical worldview through the lens of God's truth. Literally, it was enlightening to the eyes. Even when we face trials and difficulties, to look through it through a biblical lens was no longer looking at difficulties in life through despair. But as James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of all kinds. Why? God is doing a work. As difficult as it may be, as hard as it may be to understand or see, God is doing his work to create in us the kind of character he wants us to have more like him. There's a purpose even to the tough times we go through. Wow, that's enlightening. Whole new perspective, even on the difficult times. So our life application is this, all right? The world takes on a whole new perspective when you see it through the lens of God's truth. And so we must learn how to understand and see reality through the lens of God's word. True understanding of reality and life comes when we learn, all right, to see the world through the lens of God's truth. 6, the Bible is indestructible. The psalmist says here in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord here is used in place of God's word. And God's word produces a healthy reverence and respect for God. And the reverence for God, which is rooted in the response to the word of God, is a permanent foundation for human life. And so God's word, as the psalmist writes, is enduring forever. God is eternal, and his word is eternal. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words shall endure forever. And indeed it has. Though the most powerful of men and empires have sought to destroy and eradicate the word of God, kings and princes, empires and powers have come and gone, but God's word continues to stand. You know, the French philosopher Voltaire said that 100 years from his death, 100 years from now, the Bible will be an irrelevant and forgotten book. The irony is this. Shortly after his death, the Geneva Bible Society purchased Voltaire's home. And the reason he purchased it was to print, to use his printing press to print and distribute Bibles all over the world. So the Bible remains the most widely printed and distributed book in history. You know what's the number one bestseller at Barnes and Nobles year in and year out? The Bible. They no longer put it as the number one bestseller, okay? It's a given already. So our life application is this. God's word is eternal. Our destiny then, now on this earth and to eternity, is determined by how we respond to God's word. Finally, attaining of wisdom that only God can give, gaining the right perspective on the world, experiencing joy begins with the right attitude. The psalmist understood the value of God's word and desired it like treasure. He said of God's word, it's more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. It's the most, God's word is to be the most desired thing by all men and women. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. All right, he called the scriptures the very words that come from the mouth of God. God's word is the most valuable because it is truth from God himself. It provides the very foundational truths needed to attain right standing with God, to attain eternal life, and to live skillfully and wisely in God's world today. Do we value, do we treasure God's word as we should? You know, when I was in the Philippines, we had a conference. We had a conference in Manila, and a monsoon hit that night, Friday night, Saturday. A monsoon hit, and the streets were flooded, 3 to 5 feet of water. You know, Manila, it doesn't drain well, right? They got to work on their sewage there. 3 to 5 feet of water. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, well, no conference this weekend. And he said, relax, the people will come. I said, the streets are blocked, man. The cars ain't getting through. Relax, they'll come, all right? Okay, so it was an hour late, but 800 people showed up to our conference, thirsting to hear from the word of God. And I was talking to some people after the conference, and I said, streets are flooded. How'd you get here? And they said, well, you know, it took me a couple hours to catch a jeepney. And then I walked about 2 kilometers in 3 feet of water, and I got here. Good night. When the parking lot's full, you know, we just go home. Look at these guys. No wonder that, you know, the churches out there are thriving. You know, we were at another location. My wife was there and another monsoon hit. This was a pretty bad one because her flight back to the U.S. was Canada and they shut down the airport. And I looked at the director. I said, well, no conference this weekend, huh? And he said, relax. They'll come. They'll be here. And I said, roads are blocked. Telephone lines are down. Trees are down. How are they going to get here? Relax. They'll get here. Don't worry. Well, I mean, we started a couple hours late, but they came. 300-400 people came. After the conference, I was talking to them. I said, how'd you get here? And they said, oh, we walked. You know, the street was blocked. There were telephone wires and tree branches down. So, you know, we just got out of the jeepney and came walking here. Man, oh my gosh. Persevered to come and hear the word of God. That's why those churches out there, they're just growing. And despite limited financial resources, they are sending missionaries all over the world. Do we hunger and thirst for God's word like that? Do we seek it like gold? Is it sweeter than honey to us? You know, some of you say, oh, I'm not a Bible scholar. You know, I can't study. I don't study. You study. You know how I know? Because stuff like fantasy football, right? I mean, some of you guys say, oh, I'm not a Bible scholar. Well, you don't have to know Greek and Hebrew and all that, but hey, you can be a fine student of God's word. I know, because when I talk to some of you guys about fantasy football, and I say, hey, you ought to draft this guy. You're like, no, man. And you start rattling off statistics, you know, and you go, this team runs 35% of the time between the tackles, and this guy, da, 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 da. And therefore, you know, I'm going to draft this guy. Boy, you're rattling all these stats to me, you know. These guys play, you know, a nickel defense, and they just drafted a nickel defensive back. You ought to see this guy. Da, da, da. He runs the 4-4, you know, 40. Da. You're telling me all these stats, you know, and I'm like, wow. So really, you guys can study if you want to. And I looked at some of those guys that said, man, if you studied God's word, like you study fantasy football, I said, man, you'd just be incredible warrior for the Lord, man, I tell you. So we all can. We all can study God's word. So our final life application is this, the five-finger Bible study method. You've heard the Kung Fu five fingers of death, right? Five fingers of Bible study, right? If I hold the Bible with just two fingers, you can take it out of my hand quite easily. It's not very stable. Three, it's a little more stable. When I've got all five fingers on it, I've got it solid. You ain't taking it out of my hand. You apply the five-finger Bible study method, you'll have a solid grip on God's word. Hear the word. Read the word. Study the word, memorize the word, and then meditate. Sit back and reflect on the things that you've studied. You're going to have a solid grasp of God's word. The Bible, there's no other book like it. Study all the books in the libraries of the world, and you will discover there's no book like the Bible. It's got character qualities that are unique, that are unlike any other, because this is indeed the divine word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would thrill us with your word, that we may be diligent students who rightly handle your word of truth. May we love it. May we live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.